Live from New York City, it's The Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel, on the road but due back very shortly into New York. We're going to be talking about how the blood supply to tumors in the body can actually be stopped by a modified natural compound. New research from the University of New South Wales, which is in Australia. And then we're going to look at how there's a new vitamin breakthrough to cut miscarriages and birth defects from Victor Chang Cardiac Research Institute in Australia. And we're going to also look at quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, a wonderful nutrient. I highly recommend it. But it does something really good for those with sciatic nerve injury. This is according to the Pharmaceutical University Advanced Knowledge Nutritional Biochemistry in China. And we're going to look at how a study shows how food preservatives may disrupt human hormones and promote obesity, Cedars-Sinai Medical Institute. And also how exposure to antibacterials from mother to child may cause adverse effects in development, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. I'm talking about the antibacterial soaps that so many people thought were just a thing. We told you at the time, regular hand washing with just plain soap would do just as well. It's not the soap that matters. It's the rubbing and doing it properly, you know, between the fingers and then taking the knuckles of one hand and scrubbing the whole palm area and then doing the opposite, and then thoroughly scrubbing, then rinsing, does more than any antibacterial soap. Also today, a commentary, The Dance of Death, Truth Dig, and that's from, that'll be from Chris Hedges. Then we have some audio clips that I thought you would appreciate, and one in particular. There's going to be several. I don't know how many we'll get to, but we'll get to as many as we can. And one's going to be talking about something from the 1940s. It's an old clip about how you recognize fascism, because we sure have had a lot of fascism, and some of it's blatant, in your face, obnoxious, crude, rude, vile, vulgar. But what about the fascism on the left? What about liberal fascism? Oh, it's there. That disguises itself behind noble rhetoric and we the people and our protections and our values and peace, democracy, and freedom. Why don't you visit? And I'd like to see this. And I would actually pay for it out of my own pocket. I would pay for those people who supported at the policymaking level the war in Libya to go there. Doesn't cost you a nickel. I'll pay for your hotel. Well, I'm sorry, there are no hotels. No, but I'll pay for your food there. Well, there's no food there. But at least I'll pay for an airplane to get you over there. That we can do. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, yeah, Barack Obama, your wife, all of your cabinet members. Why don't you visit some place you've destroyed? That's liberal fascism. In the media, the people that supported you, Democracy Now!, Amy, I'll pay for your trip, even though you got all that money from the Soros Fund. I'll pay for it, all right? Nothing out of your pocket. Why don't you go and take a look at the consequences of liberals and what they do to this world? Yeah, it's very easy to check out some rednecks, some really stupid people doing vile and disgusting things, and then calling themselves patriots, not the patriots I know. My concern is what we don't identify and we don't see and we don't moniker for what it is. The people who are not protecting our freedoms haven't said a word about the conflicts that we've created in the Ukraine, the conflicts, the Nazis there, the fascists there that our CIA and State Department funded. Why no outcry there? The undermining of the Venezuelan government way back from Hugo Chavez and now also. Why don't we talk about what we've done in Syria and why we've demonized Iran? Iran's a terror to the world. They're invading everyone, everywhere, every moment. Oh, hold on, sorry, that's the United States. No, Iran hasn't invaded another country in 241 years. almost as long as we've been in existence. But we demonize them. Why? Well, you got to forget the right. I don't listen to a damn thing the right ever says. And I challenge everything the left says, the corporate left, not the true left. And it's just amazing what happens right in front of us on MSNBC and all these other mainstream publications. There's a little secret. One of the most popular people in the... No, I'm not going to get into it. That'll save. That'll come out sooner or later. Someone has got some really clay feet. It'll come out. But for today, we're going to play you a few clips just to remind you that fascism is no different when they refuse to allow you an opportunity to speak. Do you remember who it was who defended the Nazis' right to march? The ACLU. Now, of course, any reasonable, responsible person is opposed, adamantly opposed to Nazism, fascism in any form. But what happens when now you're on the left, or you have a different idea, or you're a homemaker and your child has been injured by a vaccine and you want to speak out, and they say you can't? What happens when you want to speak out on behalf of the right of the Palestinian people, not the terrorists? And there are terrorists within the Palestinians, but the rank and file average person, no different than rank and file average Jewish person, their right to live a peaceful life and not in apartheid. And now we're making that into a law that you could be fined or go to jail for defending the right to boycott Israel or the right to speak out on behalf of Palestinians. What happens when they want to come and arrest you or forbid you from protesting another pipeline or another, let's say, genetically modified march? They ban it. You're not allowed to ban it. What do you mean? We just want to go and peacefully march against Monsanto. Well, you can't. It's a law. Fascism is everywhere today. It's in every nook and cranny. It's oozing out of the mainstream media and the corporate sponsors behind it. It's oozing out of the self-righteous people on both left and right. It's time that we looked at all of it honestly and objectively. So we're also going to look at that. We're going to take a look at the private prison system in a way you've never seen before, with humor. We're also going to look at what happens when you take a good message, be concerned about the safety and efficacy of vaccines by one of the best scholars in the world on vaccine safety and efficacy, goes to Australia and they never allow her back. Ban her talks. So much for freedom in Australia. So you see it's happening. Why aren't we protesting any of this? We'll get with that on today's program. But we always start with the latest on health and healing, something we can all agree upon. One of the ways that tumors thrive in the body is by having a blood supply. And there's a couple things that help disrupt that blood supply. And according to the University of New South Wales, researchers have discovered how the modified natural compound dextran, D-E-X-T-R-A-N, dextran, catechin, C-A-T-E-C-H-I-N, disrupts formation of blood vessels that fuel growth in the childhood cancer neuroblastoma. Now, researchers have discovered how a modified natural compound disrupts what is called angiogenesis, or feeding the blood supply. And that's the formation of new blood vessels, a whole network, in neuroblastoma tumors, stopping them, laying down the vital supply lines that fuel cancer growth and spread. So it starved the cancer to death. And this was published in the Scientific Reports, the peer-reviewed journal, and it was led by scientists at Children's Cancer Institute. And so that's good news. So write this down. Quote, well, I'll tell you what it is. It says, we join catechin with a sugar called dextran. We found that this dextran-catechin complex is much more stable in the body and that it slows tumor growth by affecting copper levels, but we didn't know precisely how. Okay, now you know that there are two natural, non-toxic compounds that could help you with your cancer therapy. Don't assume for a second that all oncologists and all cancer hospitals know what's being done around the world. They don't. So if you know, and you know the citation I just gave it to you, then you could print out the scientific study from the current issue of Scientific Reports and take it in. And that could help your physician with this. Also, there is something called modified citrus pectin. Now, this is a very simple compound. It's made by citrus. There's your orange and your lemon, lime, grapefruit. And they dry it and pulverize it. Now, what happens is that some of that goes into the bloodstream and some does not. And by modifying the citrus pectin, it has the capacity to also engage in angiogenesis. So it, too, is a major help for all forms of cancer, I found. And there's a lot of scientific literature on it. Just Google modified citrus pectin cancer, and it'll print out all the scientific studies. And then take this to your physician. Even though I'm out on the road, a family reached my office and said that, you know, a member of their family wasn't going to do orthodox therapy. Here's my position on this. I actually called the guy and encouraged him to do this. There are some things that natural therapies cannot help. And one of the good parts about cancer treatment is the debulking, especially through surgery, where they go in, they take out a lot of that bulk tissue of the cancer and take it out of the body. There's also some merit to specific forms of therapy that can shrink the tumor, and then you get yourself in the hands of a holistic physician, even a holistic oncologist. And there are holistic oncologists who can rebuild the immune system without doing any additional radiation or chemotherapy. So you shouldn't be saying, never going to do this, never going to do that, because you never know when part of that could actually help you save your life. And the object is, whatever works is what you want to use in any given moment. The Australian vitamin, they call it a breakthrough. This was some new research at the Victor Chang Cardiac Research Institute in Australia. And they're taking a common vitamin supplement. We're talking about something off the shelf. And they describe it as being a major breakthrough in pregnancy research. In point of fact, it's not. And that surprises me, because one of the ways you get published, especially in the New England Journal of Medicine, is you have to show that what you're doing is unique and what other research exists in the field, and what were their conclusions, what makes yours different. You have to cite that, all this. I know, because I've had many articles published in a peer-reviewed journal. In fact, right now I have two that's up for publication in several different journals. So you can't just say you've done something that no one's done before. In this case, this is just not the case. But what they did find is that vitamin B3, now that's niacin, can make a difference. And here's what it says. It says, they found that deficiency of niacin among pregnant women stopped embryos and babies' organs from developing correctly in the womb. But then the question is, could treating by taking niacin or vitamin B3 also benefit them? Quote, now a new 12-year research program, our team has discovered that this deficiency in niacin can be cured and miscarriages and birth defects prevented by taking a common vitamin. The ramifications are likely to be huge. This has the potential to significantly reduce the number of miscarriages and birth defects around the world. And I do not use those words lightly, end quote. And that was from the health minister, Greg Hunt, held the study as, quote, historic medical breakthrough. Good. That's important, because almost 8 million babies around the world currently are born with birth defects every year. So that could help them. So I commend them on their study. It's a good study. It's a long study published in a major journal, and that can help them. Now, I'd like for you to reach out to my brother, Stephen, who just returned from the Dominican Republic with a whole large group of physicians. He goes every year, and he takes these physicians, and they help treat the people there for free. And Stephen has given out over 80 million vitamins to pregnant women, and now checked before he started, and after these years, I think it's 20 years or more, and it's just the miscarriage rate and the premature birth rate and deformity rate have just plummeted. So there are other people doing good work and helping, and that might be the next thing they do. They're looking at one nutrient, and he's looking at a whole compilation of nutrients to give to pregnant women. Quercetin, one of my favorite ingredients, if I had to name the top 10 healing ingredients in nature, quercetin would be in the top 10. Now, you can get it from apples and onions and some other fruits and vegetables in smaller amounts. But supplementing every day with 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams, that's without being sick. If you're sick, I won't tell you what amounts I suggest to people I'm working with, but it's much more than that. Phenomenal results. Just phenomenal. I even had someone just showed up. And by the way, please don't just show up in my office, because I'm frequently traveling, and when I'm there, it's just nonstop. But a person did, and they were recovering from what they said was some bad outcomes to their face. It was all bloated from some surgical procedures they had on their face. Really bruised. And the first thing I suggest was quercetin, because it can help taking down bruising, swelling on the face. If you've had cuts, scratches, bruises, anything on your skin, it's one of the best things. If you want to tighten your skin up, have younger skin, create new collagen, vitamin C and quercetin, do that. So it's one of those great, great nutrients. Here's something else it does. And this is the first time I've seen this. This was a study that showed that quercetin promotes motor and sensory function recovery following sciatic nerve crush. And so when you consider how many people have injuries resulting in their nervous system, and there are very few treatments that can really help that. And now comes a simple, non-toxic, wonderful natural nutrient, quercetin, Q-U-E-R, quer, C-10, C-E-T-I-N, quercetin. It has incredible therapeutic effect on nervous system injuries, hence multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, fibrocystic diseases. I've also found it works. It works with neuropathy, ALS, dementia, a whole spectrum of conditions it works on. So that's good. Also, from Cedars-Sinai Medical Institute, a study shows how food preservatives may disrupt human hormones and promote obesity. These chemicals, you'll find them added to breakfast cereals. They're in everyday products. And there's growing evidence, according to Nature Communications article done at Cedars-Sinai, that they are also endocrine disruptors in humans. Now, three chemicals tested in this study are abundant in modern life. BHT, it's an antioxidant you don't ever want to have. It's commonly added to breakfast cereals and other foods to protect nutrients and keep fats from turning rancid. PFOA, and is a polymer found in some cookware. You know, there's no skid, no stick. I would never use those. Stainless steel, yes. Providing the stainless steel isn't stainless steel on the outside. It's stainless steel on the inside. That's another game. Stainless steel. Stainless steel handle, it might be. Stainless steel exterior. But you want to make sure it's 100% stainless steel. Will it cost you a little bit? Yes, it will. Is it worth it? You bet it's worth it. You never want that aluminum. And then TBT, which is a compound in paints. So those of you who are not wearing masks, remember, no matter what you paint, if you just paint a door frame, if you paint a wall, no matter what you're painting, if you're doing painting as a hobby, good, it's great, then wear a mask. And they're different quality of masks. I'm not talking about the cheap little mask you go in that, for dust. I'm talking about a high-quality particulate filter that will filter out these TBTs from you breathing them in. Okay? Also, they're very heavy in seafood. So when you're eating seafood, you're getting these. And these will disrupt your hormones, and that is really bad. And finally, from Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, exposure to antibacterials from mother to child can cause adverse effects in development. So what happened was, the scientists out at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory discovered that exposure to the TCCs, the trichlorocarban, and the antibacterial chemical common in personal products like soaps and lotions, and also used heavily in the medical field, that can transfer from the mother to the offspring and interfere with lipid metabolism. And this was published in PLOS One. So this study represents a very unique and original report to qualify the transfer of an environmentally relevant contraction of TCC from mother to offspring. So you don't want that. So use natural soaps. You know, one, I don't care what kind you use. You know, you can use a coconut soap. You can use one of the many Broner soaps. He's a good guy, by the way. I just want to acknowledge him. When we brought about 8,000 listeners from my radio program, and it just so happens that morning, the executive director of Pacifica and the person who would become the next executive director, Summer Reese, Eileen Englehart, and Summer Reese came by and said, "We heard you're going to do a lot of stuff, and we'd like to see if, you know, Pacifica, WBA, are you, can be a part of it." I said, "Sure, love to have them part of it." So they came out to Brooklyn in the morning, and there were all these thousands of people. The person, if you saw it, was really well put together. It was a march to show we didn't want genetically engineered ingredients. We wanted labeled so we could have freedom of choice to buy something based upon our awareness. And we were up against tremendous odds. The main media was not going to cover it because they're in the pocket. The manufacturers have enormous pressure they can bring upon legislators to legislate on their behalf. And they did with Obama. Obama, when he was running, he said he would, you know, be concerned. He would label genetic. When he got there, he did what is the act that allowed Monsanto and GMOs not to be labeled. So you had no right to know, the Dark Act. In any case, here were all these little trailers lined up and with speakers, like a person from, really articulate person from Consumer Report was there. And I was there, and there were about 12 of us, at least that I knew of. And it was a 10-day march, stopping along the way in Philadelphia and other places to encourage people to come where. So there were people showing ways that you can support local farming and why GMOs are dangerous. Whole slideshows, literature given out. That's a great movement. That's how you educate people. You show them what's wrong with what you're trying to expose. You show them what is right and how to make alternatives and changes. You start grassroots levels, and you coordinate with educators, teachers, and activists and parents in the local communities. So by the time we hit Washington, D.C., and I went out and I filmed in front of the White House, and right across the street in Lafayette Park, we had this wonderful demonstrations. And who was the person who really put up most of the money for that? That was Mr. Broner. I think he's the grandson of the founder. And so it's just a call out. There are people in this world who will use their success in a positive way on social issues. He's one, so he gets a thank you from all of us, because that had to have cost several hundred thousand dollars. In any case, I also want to thank all those thousands of people from this audience who went there. Now, no one from management joined us and no one from the other program joined us. That's all right. At least you were there. You were there also when we tried to close down Indian Point, and your efforts helped. It's now being closed down. You were there at the governor's office. You were there. And by the way, later in that day, we went over and had an anti-nuke demonstration with Helen Collicott and others, Harvey Wasserman, over on the Hudson River. And there were thousands there. So that was one of those great activist days. And where a whole lot happened. And my encouragement was, why don't you get local producers in each station to know that these are important issues that the public is involved in, so they could offer their programs whenever it's appropriate as a forum for people to come forward. In any case, just a little bit of knowledge about why you should be very conscious about there are thousands of different beauty products out there, shampoos and conditioners. just read the labels. Google any label. You can do that right now. You can go, take your cell phone. You can see exactly what's in there, whether it's harmful or not, or suspected. And if it's harmful at all, don't buy it, even if it's a bargain in price. That's the latest on health and healing. That's what we're here for. And we're going to come back in a moment with a commentary. And then we're going to have some specific audio clips. And I'm going to have talkback so you can share your points of view. I'm Gary Knoll, and you are listening to the number one listened to progressive radio program in the world. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Just a little shout out here. There's a lot of effort going on to protect your freedoms. And there is a movement now by some foundations and think tanks that are supported by some very rich men and women to infiltrate and sabotage some truly progressive or humanistic or more spiritual endeavors. They're putting their people in a lot of places. So validate what people say. You have the means to do so, do so. And we also know of some manufacturers who are paying trolls to plant stories, lies, and disinformation to make people look bad on sites. Every morning, I'm finding them on my site, and we erase them immediately. You can't prevent them 100%. So if something doesn't sound like it would be from Gary Knoll, it's not. And I have six people working alone. I'm talking about top people. And that's why you haven't heard our program crash. Last year, before I hired these people, we were crashed six times. Always, by the way, when I was going to do a special on Hillary Clinton. Just coincidence, I'm sure. In any case, so they're doing all they can to stop the movement that is now forming where the awakened, disillusioned Democrats, the awakened, disillusioned conservatives, the awakened, disillusioned progressives are moving in a direction to work together and cooperate on things that we can actually do, things that we should do. Reforestation of our environment, cleaning up the mess that we make, downsizing so we're not overconsuming, having free public education, getting debt forgiveness, stopping the banks and other organizations from having undue control over our lives. They're aware of this. They're aware of our meetings. And so we're now looking at making some examples, and we're about to make some big examples. You'll hear about it. So the next time you see me in a group and you see some people around me, those are lawyers. And we're going on the offensive. It's time that we sought these people out, took them to court, and showed what they're about. So it's already been planned. It's all in motion. Nothing's going to stop that train. You know, you look at history, almost always the people who are in the right and the people who had truth and the people who were good people were always on the defensive. They were always being shouted down, screamed at, epithets, you know, thrown against them, imprisoned. It's time that we stood up and challenge fascism wherever it is, including and especially those that claim to represent the people when they only represent themselves. And in that regard, I just want to take a few moments and take a look at the people who really rule us, because most of us are ruled, not all of us. But once you start chipping one group of people at a factory in Wisconsin, and then they're looking like really foolish, smiling. Yeah, I'm getting my hand chipped here. Now I can just walk up. I don't have to have a swipe a card. I can get right in. Yeah, and what else is on that chip? I don't think anything. They just, yeah, just like your Samsung television, your new models are not watching everything you say, and listening to everything you do. Your car with its navigational device is tracking and can listen to everything you do. Actually can take over control of your engine. You didn't know that? You're not aware of the National Defense Authorization Act? You're not aware of the spy agencies? Wasn't that Edward Snowden who informed us of that? We've been lied to nonstop. There are corporate interests that want to know everything we're doing, and if we represent any threat at any level, to neutralize us, try to embarrass us or demonize us or exclude us or marginalize us. Well, that's your ruling corporate elite. And according to Chris Hedges, they're no longer seeking to build. No. They only exist to destroy. They are the agents of death. Seem too much hyperbole? I think not. They crave the unimpeded power to cannibalize our country and pollute and degrade the ecosystem to feed an insatiable lust for wealth and power and hedonism. Wars, military virtues are celebrated. Now, just any time you hear about any American, a cop or a combat soldier, they're always viewed as heroes. Really? What kind of hero flies a drone over a town and kills a wedding party of 67 or more people? What hero decapitates children who are in a school? What hero blows up in Yemen, blows up over 50 hospitals with our drones and our planes in Saudi Arabia flying them? That's not heroic. That's criminal. That's demonic. What hero shoots someone in the back five times as they're running away from you, half naked, and you say you fear for your life? Let me get this clear. Let me get this emphatically clear. The police are there for two reasons only: to protect and serve. If they really wanted to de-escalate crime, then we should open up centers in every community in the United States, every single community, where we can encourage those who are suffering the plights of inequality and poverty and crime to be able to come there and have counseling and have some form of help that can help train them for a job, help them with education. You can take over a block. You can de-ghettoize a block, tear it all down and rebuild it where the community then benefits, where everything there is for their needs being met. And then you have a place for people to get out of gangs. And there you have a place for people to learn opera and a place for people to learn how to be an electrician or a mechanic. There you have a place where people who need help will get help. We don't offer that now. We offer punishment in the form of our current, this little person, this Jeff Sessions. Didn't anyone look at his background before he was allowed to become the most powerful cop in America? Where he wants to go back to draconian ways of dealing with anyone with marijuana, put him in jail? What's this man hiding from his own background that he is so fearful of his own insecurity he's projecting it upon other people to punish them to redeem his own sins of omission and commission? Look at these individuals we have. All of them. There's no exception. Look at the cabinet. Look at the people working in the White House. Look at the people in Congress. Look at all the members of Congress. These are some of the most completely intellectually, historically, culturally, geographically illiterate individuals in the history of this country. And yet they're the best we can do in making choices for us? I think not. And then you add on top of that that they're for hire. And then we wonder why Monsanto, or why Halliburton, and why we need Cold War, and why we need to posture of who's got the biggest nuke. This is just child's play with deadly consequences. So these are not virtuous people. Intelligence, empathy, and the common good are banished. Cultures degraded to a patriotic kitsch. Education is designed only to instill technical proficiency to serve the poisonous engine of corporate capitalism. I'm embarrassed by the lack of true intellects and true critical thinkers at our Ivy League schools. Used to be you could have people who could come out of any school based upon the quality of their education and the curriculum and the compassion and passion and interest of the teacher, and you can have a critical thinker. It is possible today, but it is not common today. Those branded as unproductive or redundant are discarded, and the leftist struggle and poverty are locked away in cages. State repression is indiscriminate and brutal. Nobody gives a damn for you in our entire federal and state and local lockup system. You're just an inconvenient evil in their minds. They never question whether or not because you showed a cop in search and discovery your marijuana, you committed no crime, now you're doing 7 years, you're going to be raped, you're going to get into a gang, you're going to come out angry because the world didn't care about your real innocence or ethics. And then if you went in front of judges, judge, how many people died in the last 100 years using marijuana? How about none? How many people die of alcohol that you do and everyone else in this room might be drinking? And you're not putting people away for drinking alcohol, and you shouldn't, but you shouldn't be putting people away for smoking marijuana. But we do. And we pride ourselves on a war on drugs without looking at the consequences. We pride ourselves on a war on cancer without looking at the consequences. We pride ourselves on a war on poverty without looking at the consequences. We pride ourselves in a war on freedom without looking at the consequences. 20 million dead people in our war on freedom, democracy, since the end of World War II. We hold no one ever accountable for the crimes against humanity in our society. And yet there seems to be no irony in these little pathetic, manged reporters, the lapdogs of corporate media, from the New York Times to CNN. Yeah. Well, I got a message for you. The graveyard of world empires, Sumerian, Egyptian, Greek, Roman, Mayan, Khmer, Ottoman, Austro-Hungarian, follow the same trajectory of moral and physical collapse. Those who rule at the end of empire are sociopaths, imbeciles, narcissists, and deviants. The equivalents of depraved Roman emperors like Caligula or Nero or Tiberius or Commodus. We have all those wrapped up in one right now. The ecosystem that sustains the empire's degraded and exhausted economic growth concentrated in the hands of the corporate elite is dependent on a gripping debt, a debt peonage imposed on the population. The bloated ruling class of oligarchs and priests and courtiers and mandarins, eunuchs and professional warriors and financial speculators and corporate managers, they suck the marrow out of a society. The elite's myopic response to the looming collapse of the natural world and the civilization is to make subservient populations work harder for less, squander capital in grandiose projects such as pyramids and palaces and border walls and fracking and wage war. That's what they do. President Trump's decision to increase military spending by $54 billion and take the needed funds out of the flesh of domestic programs typifies the behavior of terminally ill citizens. Civilizations, I should say. And when the Roman Empire fell, it was trying to sustain an army of 500,000 soldiers that had become a parasitic drain on the state resources. The complex bureaucratic mechanisms that are created by all civilizations ultimately doomed them. The difference now is collapse, if and when it comes, will this time be global. No longer, according to Joseph Tainter, in his outstanding work, The Collapse of Complex Societies, can any individual nation collapse? World civilization will disintegrate as a whole. So civilizations in decline, despite the palpable signs of decay around them, remain fixated on restoring their greatness. Their illusions condemn them. They cannot see that the forces that gave rise to modern civilization, namely technology and industrial violence and fossil fuels, are the same forces that are extinguishing it. Their leaders are trained only to serve the system, slavishly worshiping the old gods long after those gods begin to demand millions of sacrifice victims. Just look at it this way. If a person says, "I'm proud to let my body be chipped," how much longer before then it's expected that everyone show allegiance by being chipped. I'm proud that my daughter or son are being vaccinated with 72 vaccines to protect them and society until every child is mandated to take vaccines, irrespective of the consequences of their safety and their harm. And then adults are expected to do the same. I'm proud that we no longer have cash in a society, that everything must be done by a chip. Oh, and now they're telling us they can make any transaction financial just by scanning our hand. And therefore, whatever amount of money that we have or whatever debt that we owe is automatically computed. So at any given time, we can just get on an airplane. We can get on a bus. We can take a taxi. We can go to the movies. We can go to the store. We can go out to Walmart. But what happens when one day a group of individuals decides that you are a threat to society? Now go to try to buy anything, and you can't. You can't buy food. You can't travel. You can't pay your rent. You can't pay your mortgage. Because you threaten the very stability of the hive. You see, we had a nation once of completely subservient people after a group fought. This was in the 1950s, where people just wanted to have peace and prosperity, and they had it, but in replaced that peace and prosperity, they had to give something up, and they gave up their uniqueness much of the time. Not by laws, not by decrees, not by someone blowing a whistle up and down their street. They had to come out every day at work in their gray flannel suits, get in their same cars, go to work. But it became a form of social adaptation. Well, what happens when society begins to adapt? I'm going to play a clip now. This is a short clip. It's an old clip. But it shows you what happens when, back in the 1940s, someone decides that there are people who are fascist and they should be the enemy. And just remember, America did not, I repeat, did not stand up and protest McCarthyism during that terrible time when people's lives, hundreds of thousands of people's lives were destroyed, their careers destroyed, if they didn't denounce someone as a communist or a red. Listen in. I think you'll find this of interest.
I happen to know the facts. Now, friends, I'm just an average American. But I'm an American American. And some of the things I see in this country of ours make my blood boil. I see people with foreign acclimony. I see Negroes holding jobs that belong to me and you. Now, I ask you, if we allow this thing to go on, what's going to become of us real Americans?
I've heard this kind of talk before, but I never expected to hear it in America.
The truth about Negroes and foreigners. The truth about the Catholic Church.
Do you believe in that kind of talk?
It all makes pretty good sense to me.
And I tell you, friends, we'll never be able to call this country our own until it's a country without. Without what?
Yeah, without what?
Without Negroes. Without alien foreigners. Without Catholics, without Freemasons.
You know these Masons. What's wrong with the Masons? I'm a Mason. Hey, that fella's talking about me.
And that makes a difference, doesn't it?
These are your enemies. These are the people who are trying to take over our country. Now you know them. You know what they stand for. And it's up to you and me to fight them. Fight them and destroy them before they destroy us.
Before he said Masons, you were ready to agree with him.
Well, yes, but he was talking about... What about those other people?
But in this country, we have no other people. We are American people.
What about you? You aren't American, are you?
I was born in Hungary, but now I am an American citizen. And I have seen what this kind of talk can do. I saw it in Berlin. I heard the same words we have heard today. But I was a fool then. I thought Nazis were crazy people, stupid fanatics. But unfortunately, it was not so. You see, they knew that they were not strong enough to conquer a unified country. So they split Germany into small groups. They used prejudice as a practical weapon to cripple the nation. Of course, that was not easy to do. They had to work hard to do it. You see, we human beings are not born with prejudices. Always they are made for us, made by someone who wants something. Remember that when you hear this kind of talk. Somebody is going to get something out of it, and it isn't going to be you.
Just remember that anytime someone is demonizing another group, what do they get from it? We like to think that anyone who speaks out and uses the word freedom, truth, and democracy, well, George Bush used that. And George Bush Sr. used that when he was going to bring democracy and truth to Iraq in 1991, or before that to Panama, or before that to Grenada. Everywhere we go, we're seeing this. And today we're also seeing it on the left. You see, what happens when we have people who say, I looked into the cancer research and I'm finding that the proof of efficacy and safety for these drugs that are very expensive is not there. Well, today all you have to do is form a group that says anyone who denies the value and virtue of chemotherapy is a quack. Now think of all the medical doctors, the nurses who know the truth, know that these are not cures, wants to speak up. Now you fear speaking up because you'll be denounced. You'll be a chemotherapy denier. So now we have all these people running around calling others deniers. That's censorship. That's fascism. So just remember, when someone's afraid of having you speak up, it's almost always based upon what you might share. I'm going to play you a little clip right now. It's a short clip, and it's really personal because one of the stations, unfortunately, that belongs to the Pacifica family is KPFA, and they routinely have engaged in censorship, at the same time priding themselves on free speech. This is the only place you can hear this. Let me explain this, friends. On ABC for a long time, including ABC Network, ABC Network on Saturdays, WABC on Sundays, the most popular show before or after in ratings as a percentage, as number one in America. WOR, WMCA twice, WEVD for 14 years till it was sold to ESPN. Not once was there ever censorship in 35 years. Not once. On Pacifica, it's regular and routine. And yet, there seems to be no irony. When the truth about vaccines and the dangers of vaccines that could have been shared with the listeners, the parents who could have then been motivated knowing there's another point of view, that there's good science to question these, especially the Gardasil vaccine that were going to be mandated, have been mandated, and now there's a 47% increase since that vaccine law took effect because you cannot opt out for religious exemptions or philosophical exemptions. So they've seen a spike in autism. I mean, a big spike, a tremendous spike. The news hasn't covered this. We have this. It's going into a new film I'm just completing. And yet I was denied an opportunity with Bonnie Faulkner to talk about the dangers of vaccines and the safety of vaccines. Now, if they want to bring someone on to debate me, good. Let the public hear a controversial issue by people and decide whether each other or none makes sense. But to say that you don't want misinformation, how would they know it's misinformation? Have they spent 15,000 hours in scholarship? They haven't spent 5 minutes. So who are they to censor people? They have power. And that power is like a cancer that metastasizes over a network. They're the ones who want to bring in and sell BAI. One of the people who was on their board, one of the lawyer running it, created a private foundation to try to get the license of BAI. So yeah, it's personal. I've been on the station 41 years, one of our sister stations, and I'm concerned at those who've done everything underhanded to try to take the power. Now here's a guy who you can disagree with, but boy, he's smart. And I've seen him in a lot of debates with some very smart people, and I've never seen him lose a debate. So if you want to do something about an atheist, then by all means, bring him on and bring the best person you know on to challenge him. That would make good radio. But to censor him because you disagree with his position on Islam, then bring the person who believes that Islam has the capacity to be violent and bring someone on who says Islam is purely a religion of peace, there is no violence prescribed. Let them both show their points of view, then the public can decide if either or neither have the merit of their argument. But you censor someone because of something they said? No. No, that's fascism. Listen in, please.
Richard Dawkins has long been a vociferous critic of religion in general, and Islam in particular. Dawkins' event was cancelled over his, quote, abusive speech against Islam.
I never said anything abusive. All I've done is point out the truth, which is that Islam is, like all other religions, is false. And I've said this in uncertain terms about Christianity, about all religions. Somehow Islam is given special treatment by what's been called the regressive left.
This is what KPFA's general manager, Quincy McCoy, had to say on the subject when he decided to cancel the event.
Well, KPFA emphatically supports free speech, but we do not support abusive or hurtful speech, like Mr. Dawkins's derisive comment that he made that Islam is the most evil of all religions. And we believe that it is our free speech right not to participate with anyone who uses hateful or hurtful language against a community that is already under attack. So simply put, we will not do that.
Statements Dawkins has made on Twitter, such as, quote, I think Islam is the greatest force for evil in the world today. I've said so often and loudly. Dawkins, who is an atheist, says all religions are bad. But at a recent science festival in England, he was quoted by The Telegraph as adding, quote, if you look at the actual impact that different religions have on the world, it's quite apparent that at present the most evil religion in the world has to be Islam.
My concern regarding this issue is not that Richard Dawkins was deplatformed. I do not believe you can be abusive to an idea. No idea is above scrutiny. There is no way someone can be abusive to Islam. You can only be abusive to Muslims. Muslims, the people, are separate from Islam, the idea. I have every right to criticize Islam without being labeled an abuser of all Muslims on earth. And of course, it is the regressive left activists who have formed this unholy pact with Islam and have jumped to its defense.
But then KPFA began to hear from activists like Larka Swanee.
Richard Dawkins is actually that,
just the idea of if you disagree with Richard Dawkins, which is your right, bring him on and bring the best person you know to show how he is wrong on. And then let's see what he says. Let's see what your advocate says. Now the left is saying, we don't want to hear you in a college. We don't want to hear you on our radio stations. We have sanitized the airways so only people who are ideologically in alignment with us. And otherwise, it's just nonsense. This is fascism, and it should be called out for what it is. Now, we're going to take you towards the end of our program, towards a different piece. This is a looking at a college that some students who are putting together this little skit about the shocking way private prisons make money. Thought you'd find this of interest.
America's prison system is a total mess. Whatever purpose you think it serves, it ain't doing it.
Well, the point of prison is to reduce crime.
It's definitely not doing that. There are 2.2 million people incarcerated in the U.S., 10 times more than 50 years ago.
2 million is more than the population of some states.
Welcome to mass incarceration, Massachusetts. Our primary export? Shivs. Our secondary export? God.
Hey! That's contraband!
But despite this massive increase in the prison population, a study conducted by the NYU School of Law found that the effect on the crime rate has been essentially zero.
Zero? Then why do we lock so many people up?
Well, I can't speak for all prisons, but this one is here to make money.
Make money? You mean someone is profiting from all this?
Yep, these guys are.
It all started in the tough-on-crime 80s, when the war on drugs meant state and federal prisons were bursting at the seams.
So many prisoners. What do we do?
Let corporate America handle your prisons. We'll take care of everything, save you a few bucks, and skim a little off the top.
Well, businesses running prisons? That sounds a little fishy. Just kidding. I mean, hey, if it saves money, right?
And so the Corrections Corporation of America, or CCA, was born.
Okay, hold on. You can't just sell prisons like they're cars or real estate or hamburgers.
Then why don't you tell that to Tom Beasley, the co-founder of CCA, who once said, you just sell prisons like you were selling cars or real estate or hamburgers.
CCA, can I take your order?
I'll have a number 7 with extra solitary cells, electric fence, and a small onion ring.
Like to supermax that?
Yeah, I'll supermax it.
And they rake in a ton of scratch. Last year, CCA took in $1.7 billion.
Business is so good, it's criminal.
Well, you know, maybe it's okay because they're saving the taxpayer money.
Sorry, the sales pitch was wrong. The data shows that private prisons cost the taxpayers just as much as regular prisons.
And today, nearly 1/5 of federal prisoners are held in a for-profit facility.
Okay. No. Ah, graffiti! That's an infraction. A beautiful one. Are you Banksy?
Oh my gosh, I already got an infraction? They must give out a lot of these.
Oh yeah, that's not a coincidence.
One study showed that private prisons dole out twice as many infractions as government prisons.
Not having enough infractions. That's an infraction.
These penalties can lengthen your sentence, which earns the company even more cash.
Oh, so the more people that are in prison, the more money they make. Ooh, that's dirty.
Yep, that's why private prisons sneak occupancy clauses into their contracts, which actually require states to keep prisons full.
Last year, a private prison in Arizona didn't make their 97% capacity quota, so the state government had to pay them a $3 million fine.
Fines like that incentivize cash-strapped states to keep people in prison as long as possible.
Your parole forms are in order, and you've been a model prisoner. So we're going to lock you back up. We really can't afford to pay another fine.
That's reprehensible.
Look, not all prisons are private prisons, but this one is. So no, its purpose isn't to stop crime.
It's the dollar bills, y'all.
I can't believe all this has been happening.
We'll have more on the private prison system, how corrupt it is, how your politicians are fully aware of it, how the Clintons were a part of this, where the campaign money comes from. And none of these people care about you, the poor, or those in need. That's the game they're playing. Why are we being so slow on the uptake to start electing people who do not represent these oligarchs, represent these entitled rich Democrat or Republicans, but represent true Americans? I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Enough to climb.